Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Acts chapter 8. Let's go there. All right. Woo, thank God. Yes. Acts chapter 8. We'll begin right in the 8th chapter of Acts this morning. Got it? Well, some of you do. You got it? Can you guys talk? When I turn the service loose, you talk like crazy and you have to, whoever's locking up, I have to wedge you all clear out. But I said you got it. All right. Now, verse 8, let's go here. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. The Bible says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now Simon here is a sorcerer in the city of Samaria. Philip went down there to preach and had a great revival. I mean, the Bible says that there were signs and wonders and demons cast out and miracles. And there's a guy in the city named Simon, and he was a sorcerer. You know what a sorcerer is, don't you? How many know what a sorcerer is? All right, most of you don't know what a sorcerer is, so I'll tell you. No, I didn't say a saucer. A saucer. Yeah, Philip said you set a cup on it, don't you? No, not that guy. This guy is a guy who practices signs and wonders by the power of the devil, see, in things. In other words, he gets his information from the devil. You know, there's only two sources in the spirit realm. There's God and the devil. Right. You know what I'm saying? And God forbid us to get our information from the devil's sources. Amen. He said, I haven't permitted you to do this. Why? Because he wants us to seek him for wisdom. Right. And, you know, the devil's a liar to start with. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't know some things, and it doesn't mean sometimes he won't tell you some things that are true. But he doesn't tell it to you to do you any good. He does it to put you in bondage, see. That's why people play around with this stuff. They get in bondage, you know, just like, you ever notice how, don't take this wrong, don't get offended, but do you ever notice, you know, and I'm not naming this at anybody in our city. It just seemed like a lot of times their name is Faye, Madam Faye. And did you ever know, there are business people go to Madam Faye for advice on business, and she lives in a chicken coop. Now, what do you mean? Well, if she knew anything about it, why is she living the way she's living? Well, you got offended, so get over it. But anyway, I'm just being honest. Why are you getting advice from somebody who's not, you're asking somebody how to prosper that's not prospering. Now, why are you doing that? That's just deception. I'll tell you who knows how to prosper if you're a business person. That's God. The devil's not very prosperous. He's going to hell. Amen. He ain't prosperous. Amen. So we have to understand, see, you know, this is where Simon was. Now, what's happened to Simon is this. He saw the miracles, signs, and wonders and heard Philip preach the gospel. And the Bible said Simon himself believed and was baptized. Right? Doesn't the Bible say if you're believed and baptized, you're saved? So by that scripture, and I think it's there in verse 12 or someplace around there, I don't know for sure, but it's in there somewhere in Acts 8. It says Simon himself believed and was baptized. So he's given his life to Jesus, all right? So but we can see right now he still hadn't got rid of all his baggage yet. He wants to buy the power. You know, he saw the apostles lay hands on the new believers in Samaria, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. He saw something. And what do you think he saw? Well, he saw them speak with tongues and magnify God. Right? He saw something. When he saw through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he said, give me this power. See, he's used to having power. He's used to, the Bible said, the King James says, he bewitched us, the city of Samaria with his sorceries. Or he fascinated them with his sorceries. So he's used to having power. And so now he's come over to God's side. He says, now give me this power, then I can do this. I'll give you money for it. How many know you can be saved and still need some sanctification going on? Right? It doesn't mean you're all cleaned up yet. It just means you got started, right? So he said, verse 19, give me also this power that on whomever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, buddy, because you've thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, he's not saying that he's not saved. He's just saying things aren't right yet with you, buddy. You need to get your mind renewed. You can still have some baggage. Yeah. Amen. Well, I know I did when I got saved. Now, there were some things that fell off right away because, you know, I went into it with some knowledge because my mother was a spirit-filled, word of faith believer. So I saw how she lived. Mm-hmm. So, see, I had some knowledge. See, I already knew things that believers, you know, did and didn't do. Mm-hmm. To a point. Now, not everything, but I knew this. And so I went into it with that kind of knowledge. See, now I've seen people that didn't have that kind of knowledge, you know, just like I've told you before, I went to pray for a friend one time to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ, a guy I did drugs with before I gave my life to Jesus. And he was working on his TV. He went to his house. He's working on his TV set. He's just cussing like a sailor, you know, like cussing. The TV's going to fix it. People cuss, you know, bolts and nuts and everything else, like that's going to help, you know, cuss their car and everything else. Cuss the traffic signal and all that, and it doesn't change a thing. And so he's just cussing like a sailor. And I told him, I said, you need to give your life to Jesus. And he said, I did. Now, first thought, I thought thou didst not. You know, wouldn't you think that? I mean, you don't sound like a believer to me. They don't cuss like that where I go to church. That's right. At least they do. I haven't heard it. And so anyway, so he... I heard the Lord. Now, I mean, you know, I'm not very old in the Lord yet. I'm just a babe myself, really. I still ain't that old. But I heard the Lord. He said to me, he said, just leave him alone. He's walking in all the light he has. And I thought, well, okay. I still wasn't satisfied that he was saved. He didn't pass my criteria. If God's going to accept him, fine. But if you're going to let me judge him, he's going to hell. So, but God said to me, I just heard this on the inside of me, leave him alone, he's walking in all the light that he has. Now, and about a week or two or three, whatever it was later, he worked for an airline, and he told me, he said, you know, he got transferred to, he was getting transferred to another city, and he asked me, he said, do you know any churches there? Well, I didn't know any churches there. But I knew one pastor there. And because I heard him on the radio, and I said, "Now he's a good pastor. He's a good Bible teacher. You need to go there." So he did. First service is there. This pastor preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, he hadn't heard of that. He hadn't gone that far yet. So he turned around. Somebody said, "Is this something I should have?" They said, "Do you have the baptism in the Holy Spirit?" He said, "No." They said, "Yes, you should." He went up and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, and all of a sudden things changed. Well, he got the teacher. I mean, the teacher was living in him when he got born again, but now the teacher's upon him. Praise. He's got more. Hallelujah. And so all of a sudden, things begin to change. His language began to change. And before he got saved, there was a period of time when he got saved and when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Between that period of time, he was still going to parties and doing drugs, telling everybody how great it was to be saved. But something happened. When he got some knowledge, he realized, that's luck. Now listen to me. Doing drugs or don't doing drugs doesn't get you saved. Jesus gets you saved. But after you get saved, you ought to honor the Lord because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost and quit putting stuff in your body that's going to hurt it. Amen. Now whose bright idea was it to legalize marijuana? Now, you can't tell me anything about marijuana. I don't already know about marijuana. I've smoked marijuana than you've been alive. For I was saved. Don't tell me what it does. I know what it does. It causes you to do other stuff. It causes you to not drive right. I know Willie's got a petition going around to, you know, to make a national holiday for marijuana. But, you know, Willie's got some things to overcome himself. He said, well, who's Willie? Well, never mind. All I know is George is on his mind. Amen. And he gets to smoking and some other stuff gets on his mind sometime, I think. But, you know, see, that's just deception. You listen to me. I'm not up here preaching against marijuana or non-marijuana. I'm just telling you, this is devil stuff. This is what this is. This is so we get more dumbed down, more messed up, more in bondage. Amen. I started smoking marijuana when I was 13 years old, so I know a little bit about it, you know. And I realized it led to other stuff. So I don't know whose bright idea that was. It was like here in town. I shouldn't preach on this stuff, but it's just coming up. But here in town, one of the colleges, they were having matter of fact, Greg went to the meeting. They were having a debate on where they should allow alcohol on campus. I thought, now listen, you don't even have to be a Christian. No, that's a dumb idea. You already got enough problems just having teenagers on campus. Now give them a beer, you just magnified your problem. How dumb can you be? That's just the way the devil is. He's just stupid, man. And he'll make you stupid when you hang around him. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, all right. So this is where Simon's at. You know, I got off on that because of Simon. Blame it on him. This is where Simon's at. His life isn't totally straightened out yet, but he's headed in the right direction. All right. So Peter has to rebuke him and say, hey, that's not the way this works. Verse 21, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness and pray, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Peter said, just ask God to forgive you. You better pray he does it. He says, for I perceive, verse 23, that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's the King James. That word gall means poison. I perceive that you are poisoned by bitterness and you're still bound by iniquity. You haven't accepted all your freedom yet. Amen. You know, you can still be bound even though you're saved. Yeah. But there's freedom for you. Christ paid the price for you to be free. All right, so since you're real quiet because you're still sitting there waiting, what in the world's pastor preaching on? Well, all right, I'll tell you. You ready? I'm going to preach on the poison of bitterness. All right? See, he said to Simon, he said, the problem with you, Simon, is you're still poisoned by bitterness. There's bitterness in your life. Now, I read that scripture. You know, I was just reading through the book of Acts the other day. I think it was on Friday, Friday morning. I'm just reading through the book of Acts. And I came to that scripture where Peter told Simon, the reason you're acting the way you're acting and you're wanting to buy the gift of God with money so you can have power in your life and impress people, he says, because you're still poisoned by bitterness in your life. Bitterness. And the Lord... Now listen, the Lord, you know, when you say the Lord talks to you, I'm not saying he talked audibly, but the Lord spoke to me through that scripture and he said to me, he said, you got a little bit of bitterness in your life. I do? He said, yeah. Now see, you can be bitter at a person. You can be bitter at a group of people. You can be bitter at past things that happened to you. You can be bitter because things didn't happen that you thought should happen. Right? There's people that are bitter at a restaurant because they didn't do what they thought they ought to do. But Peter said, you know, you're poisoned by it. Now, the Lord began to deal with me, and you know, sometimes the Lord deals with me, how much just for me? But then sometimes he says, no, there's other people that need help. They need to get free of this, see. And so the Lord began to... Now, I wasn't like bitter at any person, not one person, no individual. I don't have any of that. I'm not, you know, I don't have any issue with anybody. People may have issue with me, But I don't have any issue with anybody that I know of. You know, now I know some people have an issue with me, but you know, that's on their end, you know, and I can't help that. But you know, as long as I haven't done them wrong, I'm you know, I'll check with the Lord. Am I okay here? And if he says I'm okay, I'm okay. So but I realized he was right. I realized I was bitter at things that had happened in our nation. I was bitter at groups of people. I realized that I was bitter at some things that hadn't happened yet. And I thought, well, Lord, you know more about me than I know about me. I didn't even know until you told me. Thanks for telling me. You know what I asked you to do? Deliver me from this bitterness. You know what happened? I got delivered. Come on, help me out. So I bought that. You know, and when that happened, all of a sudden, all kinds of things just left me. It's like, well, that doesn't bother me any longer. See, because bitterness opens the door for a lot of things. You know, maybe you're bit, you know, when we've all been done wrong. Don't misunderstand me, but listen, you know, I was reading this. We've all been done wrong, but we don't have to become bitter about it. We don't have to become bitter about it. I was reading this thing, you know, how many know who, and I've talked about it before, how many know who Corrie ten Boom is? Corrie ten Boom lived in Amsterdam, and her father was a clockmaker, watch guy, and her family, it was when the Nazis were invading different countries, and they were coming, and they'd come into the Netherlands there, and Holland, and they were literally loading up Jews and taking them to concentration camps. They were literally trying to, you know, clear the whole Europe of Jews. And so her and her family, her sister, her father, her mother, they would hide Jews in their house, in their house combination watch shop. And eventually they got caught. And so they sent all of them, her father, her mother, and her sister, and her off to concentration camps. Her father and mother went to one somewhere. They died there. And then her and her sister went to Ravensbrück. And her sister died there. And she, she got released miraculously by a clerical error. They tattooed numbers on you, you know. And she was supposed to have been killed. But they accidentally, somewhere, no, and it was God, they wrote down a number wrong and released her. But she'd been there for quite a while, you know. Amen. You know, and she said that, this is kind of funny. Don't let me forget to go back and finish this story. But it's kind of funny. When she was there, you know, the place got infested with fleas. Lice. And the place was just infested with, you're right, it was lice. And she said, we just started practicing thanking God for everything, you know. And she said, we started thanking God for the lice, you know, thank God for the lice. Well, you know, I'm not so sure I'd do that. But anyway, what else are you going to do? Anyway, you're going to be there doing something. So thank God for the lice. She said, the lice kept the guards from coming in. They wouldn't come in the barracks because of the lice. So they had free reign to have Bible studies. So actually the lice did kind of help out. Yeah. And so, but anyway, she came back, you know, after she got released and the war's over. It's 1947. She went to Germany, you know, where she'd been in concentration camps where the Nazis were, I mean. But she went to Germany and she went to share about God's forgiveness and about how he, you know, forgives us our sins and casts them in the sea, you know, and the forgetfulness, and he forgives us of our sins. She's just going around sharing because she said the German people needed it. You know, they were beat down people, and they needed to hear about God's love. She said, so I'm having this meeting, you know, and I'm there preaching about God's love and about his forgiveness. She said, I looked out there and I see this guy in a German uniform on. And she said, I recognized him. He was one of the guards at Ravensbrück where I was at. She said, they made us take off all of our clothes, pile them in a... We had to march by these guards without any clothes on, humiliated. He was one of them. Said he was cruel to us. He was mean to us. He beat us. And there he sits out there in this meeting. And she's preaching on God's forgiveness. What's that do with us being mad at the restaurant down the street because they overcooked my toast? All right, I'm just preaching. Is this all right? And so she said, after the meeting, you know, he comes walking up to me. Now, she said, I figured he doesn't recognize me because there were, you know, there were all hundreds of us in that camp. But he said, she told the story about being in Ravensbrook, about forgiveness and so forth. And here he walks up there and he says to her, he said, I want you to know I was a guard in Ravensbrook. And he said, that was a really good message, Fraulein, really good message. He said, I understand you were in Ravensbrook. He said, I've become a Christian since the war ended. And he said, I believe you. All my sins are cast into the sea. He said, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Will you shake my hand? She said, I just preached on forgiveness, you know. And God, she said, I couldn't do it. She said, I put my hand in my purse, fiddling around. He said, he had his hand out there. She said, because forgiveness, this is where you got to get it. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's an act of the will. Right? And so she said, finally, I got my hand out and reached out and grabbed his hand and shook his hand. She said, when I did, everything left me. All that, you know, that anger, all that bitterness. She said, it just flowed out of me. She said, I just felt the power of God flow. She could have just, you know, listen, we're going to have feelings. How many know that? She said, I had trouble with that. Why I still had these feelings? She said, so a Lutheran pastor in Germany, I think it was in Germany, told her, he said, here's the problem. Here's the issue. Because she said, you know, I'm still having these feelings, you know. She's got to learn. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. Yeah. Right? And she said, I couldn't understand that until she said, I went to this pastor, this Lutheran pastor, I think he was in Germany, and told him, said, why is it I still feel this way? Sometimes I still have these feelings, you know, of anger. He said, you see that bell right there, and that church bell, the rope that comes down? He said, I don't remember what they call them, but they come and ring the bell. He said, he'll grab hold of the bell and ring it. He said, after he lets go, he said, that bell keeps ringing for a while. He said, forgiveness is letting go of the rope, but the bell may ring for a little while after you let go. It may take a little bit before those feelings subside and all that. But you got to make the decision, I'm going to let go of this. Amen? You know, just whatever happened years ago or whatever didn't come to pass or whatever, you know, past failures or mistakes you've made, you can be bitter over your own mistakes. But the Bible says that we're to forget the past. Remember Isaiah? Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Shall you not know it? It shall spring forth. I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What did God say? If you let go of the past, I'll do miracles. Hallelujah. Rivers in the desert, that's a miracle, praise God. I'll do miracles if you just let go of the past. Amen. You got to learn to just let it go. See, Israel's had that problem. They just couldn't let things go. They couldn't let Egypt go. Remember when they came out of Egypt? They no more got, they didn't even get across the Red Sea. They were like ready to go back. They got out there and a little bit of hunger and let's go back. Let's make a new captain. Let's go back. Let's go back to Egypt. We remember the leeks. Isn't this something to remember? That, oh, we remember the fish we had, the leeks, the garlic and the onions. Well, you'd be something to kiss, wouldn't you? Leek, garlics, and onions. See, this is the way the devil wants us. He wants us to stay in the past. Because he knows if we stay in the past. See, Israel stayed in the past. That first generation that came out, they stayed in the past. They're always talking about going back to Egypt. A little bit of trouble, go back to Egypt. And God could never get them into the new He had for them. He had something new. He had something better. But till they let go of the past, they couldn't get there. Oh, Pastor, you just don't know what kind of mistakes I've made in my life. Well, let me just tell you something about that. The blood of Jesus is bigger. Are you with me now? See, I had a guy one time, he kept, and I've told you this story before, but it is true. He kept, he would not only come here to church, but if I'd go preach somewhere, he'd show up there. And, you know, I liked the guy. But he just kept going on about his past, what he'd done in his past, what he'd done in his past. Well, have you asked God to forgive you? Yeah. Well, has he? Well, yeah. But he'd keep getting in prayer line for praying about this. Oh, I miss God in the past. I miss God. Well, one day, one night, he got in the prayer line, and it wasn't the right night for him to say that to me. I don't know whether that was in the spirit or whether it was righteous anger. I don't know, but something came out. You judge. God or not God. Whatever it was, it worked. And he said his deal, his spiel to me, pray for me. You know, I miss God in the past. I miss God here. I bellowed. I yelled. I said, you know what your problem is? I shocked him right there. I said, you got more faith in your sin than you do the blood of Jesus. I can't help you. Get out of the line. Can you do that and still be a pastor and a Christian? I don't know. I guess you can. I still am. Nobody fired me. God didn't kick me out of the kingdom. But you know what? From that night forward, he never brought it up again. He either got delivered or he was scared to. But either way, we got rid of it. Because you know exactly what his problem was? He had more faith in his sin than he did the blood. That's what his problem was. See, he had more faith. He believed his sin was too strong for the blood of Jesus. That's just deception, see. So he had to find out, you know, listen, you can't keep, if you're gonna have more faith in your sin than you are the blood, then you're just gonna be living in the past. Amen. Well, Pastor, you just don't know what they did to me. They just treated me wrong. Well, I understand that, but let me tell you something. Thank God for the power of God to get that out of you. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Come on, you getting anything today? Yes. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank God for the word. Amen. See, a lot of times too, you know, maybe we're not bitter at a person. I wasn't bitter at anybody. I didn't have any issue with anybody, no problems with anybody. But I sure had allowed myself to get bitter over some things that's transpiring in our country. And I thought this, you know, it just made me angry and bitter. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, what is that verse saying? Don't stay angry long. Right? God is slow to anger, and he doesn't stay there long. If he did, we'd all be in trouble. Amen. He's quick to forgive, the Bible says. Abundant mercy. Now, why is that? Because if you stay angry about something long, bitterness gets in. And when bitterness gets in, it starts poisoning your life. It starts tainting everything. I mean, it starts messing the way you think. That's what Simon's problem was. Peter labeled it. He said, I perceive you're still poisoned by bitterness, man. You're still bound. You need to be free. Amen? All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail or come short of the grace of God. How many know you don't want to come short of God's grace, do you? He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, he calls it here a root of bitterness. Now, how many know the root affects the entire plant? I mean, what goes to the root, that affects everything, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. You know, we were looking at buying a tree one time. Seemed like we buy a lot of trees. Because every place we move, we got to plant trees. We're like, you know, Johnny Appleseed down here. Amen. We got to have some trees. You know what I'm saying? The subdivisions today, they put them in a cornfield. You know. Or, you know, ours was an orchard. For it was a subdivision. They tore all the trees down. And I was taking a walk the other day, and, you know, the subdivision just continued to grow, and now it's backed up where it's back up to Lance Road. And there's like a row of trees there between, you know, the subdivision and Lance Road. And I saw this guy knocking those trees down. And this is before I was delivered to bitterness. I want to go up there and knock him down. I thought, what in the world are you doing knocking the trees down? Leave them trees alone. But I don't own the land. And so it's really none of my business. But I was making it my business that day in my thought life. I'm on to like square his wheels on that little deal. He's, you know, put some square wheels on there. You can't roll his thing. But, we plant trees. Well, you know, we saw this one tree, you know, and we liked this at the nursery. It was in one of those containers, but they'd buried them in the ground so they wouldn't fall over. You know, they dug holes, set the container in the ground. There's a tree. Tree growed up. It's a pretty good size birch tree. And so I thought, hey, I like that. I like to plant big trees. Man, I planted some one time. Well, I didn't plant them. Somebody else planted. I planted some one time. I didn't have any trees. First house we bought down here, no trees. One tree in the yard that they'd planted. One tree, but no trees in the backyard and all. But before the day was over, I had trees above my second story window. I mean, they came in there with this big old auger and took a plug of dirt out, stuck that tree in, planted. Praise God, shade. Hallelujah. Of course, it cost a lot, but I paid it, man. Let's have some shade trees. But anyway, I wanted this tree. So this guy, me, we're out there, you know, and this tree, the roots have grown through the container into the ground. And so we got to loosen this thing up. And we're loosening it up, and all of a sudden I hear, pop! Uh-oh. That don't sound good. So the guy looks at me. He goes, I'll sell you this tree for 40% off, but you can't bring it back. I said, no. That didn't sound good. So I didn't buy the tree. So anyway, we came back a few days later, and the thing is all wilted. Because whatever root we broke, it was important. It was. It was the tap root. See, those roots supply the nourishment to the tree. So if we have a root of bitterness, it's growing up inside of us, and it's tainting everything in our life. We've got to ask God to deliver us from that. I said, we got to ask God to deliver us of that. We got to get rid of that. See, it's going to taint everything. Maybe you're bitter because you thought God should have done something and He didn't come through. Well, listen to me. Don't ever blame it on God, because that's going to cause bitterness in your life. That is the lie of the devil. Have you ever had things, Pastor, in your life that didn't come to pass that you were believing for? Absolutely. But it never was God's fault. It was always me or the devil or somebody. Usually it comes back to me. I didn't know something, didn't know enough. You know? Amen. Amen. It's like somebody told the Lord one time, might have been Brother Hagin, said, I'm doing everything I know. The Lord said, you just don't know enough. Well, that's plain enough, isn't it? How many know that's true of all of us in some areas, right? We just don't know enough yet. But if we keep going after it, we're going to learn. Amen. Come on. God is so good. It isn't like He's withholding, He's trying to get it to you, but sometimes we're a little dull of hearing. Amen. You gotta, you know, sometimes we just gotta figure it out ourselves. Right? Instead of going to God. It's like our great granddaughter's at the house this past week. She spent a few days with us, and she come out of the bedroom. She's trying to zip her jacket, you know, and she just can't get it, you know. She's working on it, and her dad says, well, come here, let me help with that. Her grandpa, that's right, her grandpa. I'm great grandpa. Her grandpa, Poppy, she calls him, said, let me help you with that. No, I do it myself. He said, well, I admire your spunk, but eventually she got it. But you know what? See, that's sometimes the way we are with God. I'll do it myself. No, just spend some time. Just just keep seeking God. Just keep going after it. He'll get it to you. Amen. Now, all right, did you get something today? We're about to close here. Just a moment here. Let's close out by going to Exodus chapter 15. Go there, Exodus 15. Oh, thank God. See, we have to understand that bitterness, unforgiveness, those kind of things, it hinders our faith. Faith worketh by love. I mean, you want your faith working, right? Yeah. And all that gets in there and it poisons things and it poisons relationships. And like Hebrews said, many are defiled. Men are defiled by it. You know, if anybody could have been bitter, Joseph could have been bitter. Remember Joseph in the Bible? I mean, you know, his brother sells him. They sell him, you know, throw him in a pit. They're going to kill him. Then they finally decide, let's don't kill him. Let's just sell him. They sell him off and, you know, he goes into slavery, goes into Egypt, Potiphar, you know. I mean, that's enough to make you bitter right there. This is your brother's doing this. And then his Potiphar buys him, you know, and puts him over his house. And God's blessing Joseph, you know, everything he touches gets blessed. You know, the Bible says he's a prosperous man or a successful man, you know. And so one day, you know, he's in there in the house, you know, and he's just an honorable man. He's doing everything right. But, you know, the devil doesn't care how honorable you are. He's still going to mess with you. Amen. And so, you know, he's just in the house, you know, and the Potiphar's wife begins to make eyes at him, the Bible said. No, she's got a thing for him, you know. He's a young man. He's well-built. He's good-looking. You know, looks a lot like me. And what are you laughing for? Anyway, he was young, well-built. The Bible says, you know, goodly favored, the King James says. That just means, man, he was a hunk. And so she gets eyes for him. And, you know, he said, no, I'm not going to do this. He said, how can I sin against God and my master? I'm not going to do this. This wouldn't be a sin against God. My master's put everything under my hands but you. He said, I'm not going to do this. You know, and then one day he goes in there alone. She's in there, you know, and she grabs him by his garment and says, lie with me. And he says, no, I can't do this. This is a great sin. I cannot do this. And he, you know, runs out without his garment, you know, and that made her mad. I mean, I angered her because he turned down these advances, you know. And so finally, you know, when she cries out like, help, help, help. And she tells the workers, you know, this Hebrew came in here and he tried to rape me, you know. And then her master, you know, his master comes home, her husband. When he finds out, he puts him in the dungeon, in the prison. He's down there unjustly. I mean, you can get bitter over that. And then, you know, he has this dream about the baker and the butler, you know. He sees the basket on the baker's head and the birds are eating out of it. He sees the butler and he's got the cup of wine, giving it back to Pharaoh. You know, that the butler dreamed that dream and the baker dreamed his dream, you know. And they asked Joseph, what does it mean, you know. The baker says, I dreamed, you know, there was a basket on my head and, you know, and the birds came and ate out of it. And the butler says, well, I dreamed a dream and I had Pharaoh's cup and I handed it back to him. And, you know, and Joseph said, well, here's the interpretation of that dream. 3 days you're going to be restored back to your butlership. 3 days Pharaoh's going to hang you to the baker. Well, it came to pass. And Joseph told the butler, he said, when you get to Pharaoh, remember me. And the Bible said he forgot him. He's down there for a long time. And then one day, you know, God always comes through. Everybody say one day.
One day.
Maybe not in the day, maybe not today. Maybe not in the day that you want, but one day is coming if you stay in faith. Joseph could have got bitter and lost the whole thing, but he kept a good spirit about him, and God blessed him even in the prison. And then one day, Pharaoh had a dream. He didn't know what it meant. And the butler says, oh, he says, I remember now. Well, there's this Hebrew that, you know, down in the dungeon, and he interpreted dreams for us. I bet he could interpret your dream. And he said, well, go get him. And they made Joseph shave, you know, and cleaned him up, you know, because the Egyptians were clean-shaven people. And they made him clean up, and he went before Pharaoh. Pharaoh told him the dream, you know, and Joseph interpreted it. Man, I mean, Pharaoh was so impressed. He said, man, I'm going to put you over all of Egypt. Nobody will be above you but me. He said, go get my second best chariot. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, are you with me? Amen. Go get the Rolls Royce out. Ride along in it. Tell everybody, bow the knee. Here, this guy, now listen, you listen to me this morning. This guy is stinky, unshaved, poorly clothed, in the dungeon in the morning. By the afternoon, he's clean shaven, got the king's robe on, and riding around in the best wheels anybody else could have except Pharaoh. And they're bowing the knee to him. Don't tell me God can't come through. But if you give up, you get bitter, you're going to lose it. The devil's trying to take it away from you. But he didn't get bitter. And the proof he didn't get bitter, you know, finally his own brothers came into Egypt to buy grain because there was a famine going on. Come on, help me remember the story. They come in there to buy grain and they go to Joseph. They don't realize it's Joseph. They don't recognize him. They haven't seen him since he was 17 years old. They don't recognize who he is, but he recognizes them. But he acts like he doesn't know them. And he speaks rough to them, you know. And he asks about their father. Is the old man, is he alive? Your father. He wants to know about his dad. And they said, yeah, he's well. And so, you know, and I won't go through the whole story, but eventually, you know, they come, they go, they leave and they take the food back and then they come back later to buy some more. And Joseph reveals himself to him, to them. And they all come into Egypt, you know, that's how the children were got in Egypt. And then Joseph, you know, he takes care of them, you know. But finally, Jacob, the father, dies. And now the brothers think, oh my gosh, dad's dead. Joseph is going to repay us for what we did to him. And so they made up a lie. After they buried their father in a time of mourning, they came in to see Joseph and said, now your father said when he's alive that you're to forgive us. But you know what? Joseph could have done anything he wanted to do to those men. Anything. But he said, am I in the place of God? He said, you meant what you did. You meant it to me for evil. The King James says, God meant it for good. But literally, when you look at the Hebrew, it says God wove it for good. You meant evil, but God took it and wove something else out of it. He wove good out of it. I'm not in the place of God. I'm not going to attack. I'm not going to do anything. There's no bitterness in me. I forgive you. I'm going to take care of you. That proved he didn't get bitter. Someone said, you know what? Better is bitter with the eye removed. Think about it. You get you out of it. I got to get my revenge. I got to have mine. Come on. We all got that nature, man. One of the first things you learn as a kid is no. One of our granddaughters, she used to use the word mine, only she would drag it out, mine. And now she's got a little girl that goes, mine. Payback's coming, honey. Hallelujah. Mine. Now, where do they get that from? You know what the Bible says? Foolishness is bound on the heart of a child, and correction drives it far from them. They have to be taught. They have to be driven out. But yet you get people that are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, they still got that in them. So you got to get it out of you. In other words, listen. Paul said it like this. This is it. Did you get something today? Let me close. Paul said it like this. He said, He was talking to Timothy. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. You beware of him. He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. I'm not going to touch him. Let God take care of him. Remember what the Bible said? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. He said, well, God's too slow. I can take care of this right now. Yeah, but you get in a mess and you mess yourself up, amen? Let God take care of it. You keep a sweet spirit about you. Paul talking about his own traveling companions one time in 2 Timothy 4. He said, at my first defense, my first trial, all of them forsook me. Every one of them. What are you talking about, man? These are the people who are traveling with him. This is Luke. This is Demas. This may have been Timothy. It might have been Barnabas. I don't know who it was. He doesn't name them. He doesn't write a tell-all book. Right? He doesn't name them, but he just said, they all forsook me. He said, I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. He said, the Lord stood with me. And I thought, you know what? If he'd have been bitter about that, the Lord wouldn't have been able to stand with him. What do you think Jesus said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can't get this bitterness. You got to get the bitterness out. What about Stephen? They're stoning him, right? Remember? They're stoning. He kneels down, calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, and he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's, and guess who was there when he said that? Said they laid their garments down at the young man's feet named Saul or Paul. That's where Paul got that. He saw Stephen practice that. And he saw the glory of God on Stephen. Hallelujah. And he saw Jesus. Now listen to this. You know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Come on, are y'all with me? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, isn't he?
Right.
This is your left hand, ain't it?
Yes.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father, right?
Right.
The Bible says when Stephen died, he saw him stand up.
That's right. Wow.
He honored Stephen. Come on up, son. Hallelujah. Man, it's just not worth carrying bitterness around. Amen? I said, it's just not worth it, is it? Come on, man. I don't know about you, but I want the blessing of heaven on my life. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper anyway. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.